My guest at this time is Grover Norquist. He is president of Americans for Tax Reform, a very influential group here in Washington, D.C., committed to making sure that your federal, state, and local taxes are not raised. They've been a major player in the debate over what to do about the nation's mounting debt. The issue has come around full circle once again, just a few months after the huge fight over the summer, as once again President Obama has asked Congress to raise the debt ceiling, this time to the tune of about $1.2 trillion. And Grover, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, delighted to be with you.
Should we be surprised at all that this is coming up already?
No. Our friend Mr. Obama wants to both raise the debt ceiling and to raise taxes. What he did get this last year was an increase in the debt ceiling, but not an increase in taxes. In fact, Congress forced through a series of spending restraints over the next decade that, if left in place, future Congresses can always undo what this Congress did, would save taxpayers $2.5 trillion. So this last year, we dodged Obama's lunge for a tax increase and actually enacted into law spending restraint. Now we have to defend that.
As other folks have pointed out, Grover, in recent weeks since the president suggested this latest hike in the debt ceiling, that part of the deal last summer, which I know you don't think was perfect, but was better than it certainly could have been in certain circumstances, there is now basically a supermajority required to stop the president from doing this. So how much of a problem is this going forward?
Well, this is just that one time. What happened was we said, okay, the president wanted $2.5 trillion increase in the debt ceiling. Republicans said, we'll give you that if we cut spending $2.5 trillion. Then Obama came back and argued, well, what if we raise taxes instead of cutting spending? And the Republicans, we spent all summer, Obama threatened to close the government down and cancel our ability to borrow, and he kept saying, oh, come on, let's raise taxes, and Republicans said, no, we're going to cut spending. The Republicans won, Obama lost, but they phased it in, $1 trillion first, spelled out, and then the second $1.2 trillion was a across-the-board sequester, which Obama thought would be too painful for Republicans to live with. And Republicans said, well, we're not crazy about the sequester, but we're not raising taxes. So the second happened, and once that sequester took effect, then there was an almost automatic $1.2 trillion increase in the debt ceiling. So this is part of that whole deal. It is a deal that we largely won, but we started with the fact that he spent the country in a very difficult position, and we had to raise the debt ceiling for that. But we started the process of rolling back spending. Started.
Grover, talk about that a little bit more. You mentioned $2.5 trillion over 10 years, which is essentially cuts in the increases in spending.
Yes.
Some folks, as they watch this debt balloon over $15 trillion and keep going, want to know if we're ever going to get to the point where we're actually going to really cut spending. Are we anywhere close to that, given where we are with entitlements and other almost mandatory spending at this point?
Well, as long as you have Obama or a Democrat president, the answer is no, we're not. Remember, in 2011, the Republicans in the House of Representatives passed, with every single Republican, only less four people, all but four Republicans, voted for Paul Ryan's budget. Paul Ryan's budget cut $6 trillion out of Obama's planned spending, $6 trillion. Now, Obama planned a lot of additional spending. We didn't get the six because the Senate, Democratic Senate, would not go along with us, and certainly Obama would have vetoed it. But when we went mano a mano with the president, we got $2.5 trillion of the six we wanted. So for people who say, how come you didn't compromise with the president? The answer is we did compromise. We wanted a $6 trillion spending restraint. We only got $2.5 trillion. What we didn't do was give him a tax increase to pay for his bigger government. That's what Obama really wanted.
What impact would that tax increase have actually made, given how quickly we're drowning in red ink here?
Oh, here's the problem. If you gave him a dollar of tax increase, you'd have had no spending restraint at all. What happened in 1982 when the Democrats cheated Reagan, what happened in 1990 when the Democrats cheated Bush, was they said, well, let's have some spending cuts and some tax increases. Well, they put the tax increases on the table. But as soon as the tax increases were on the table, they grew and grew and grew, and the spending cuts literally disappeared before our eyes like some disappearing Cheshire cat, and we got no spending cuts and significant tax increases.
Grover, it's probably hard to quantify specifically, but you mentioned that you believe that the deal that happened last summer wasn't perfect, but it was better than where we were headed without that stand by the congressional Republicans. Given how much the debt is increasing, how aggressively do we need to attack spending before it's quote-unquote too late?
That's a very good question. I mean, the sooner the better. I mean, there's no such thing as too soon. We're 3 years late, in maybe 30 years late, in addressing overspending. Look, there were several problems. One is George W. Bush came into Washington, and cutting spending was not on his list of things to do. It just wasn't on his list of things to do. When he first came in, the Republicans in the House and Senate had wrestled with Clinton not giving him the additional spending he wanted. And when Bush came in, elected, he told guys, go ahead and just agree to everything because I want to start with a clean slate. So the first official act of the Bush administration was to throw away all of the hard work of the Republicans in the House and Senate trying to stop Clinton from spending too much money and announcing, I don't care. Well, that really set the tone for the entire 8 years of Bush. And now the only thing that makes Bush look okay is when you compare him to Obama. Bush was spending too much. Bush was not focused on reining in spending. Bush, with any effort at all, could have tremendously helped push down the cost curve on spending. He didn't, couldn't be bothered, had a list of other things to do. Spending restraint was not part of his agenda. But he looked really good, still looks really good, compared to what followed with Obama. And Obama just really exploded the spending.
Last question before we let you go, Grover. Obviously, with periodic debt ceiling hikes and everything else, this debate's going to happen over and over and over again. Based on what happened last summer and just the way trends are going, how confident are you that your efforts to make sure tax increases aren't part of the long-term addressing of this is going to be successful?
Well, I think we'll succeed, but this is a fight we're going to have every year, every 2 years. It's going to keep going from now until eternity. The other team wants tax increases to pay for bigger spending. We want less spending and not a tax increase. And those are two different worldviews, and the Republicans right now are 98.5% committed to no tax increase, yes spending, and the Democrats are 99.5% committed to tax increases and not spending cuts. So there's no compromise available when somebody wants to move west and somebody wants to move east. Somebody wins or somebody loses. If one party wants the government to get bigger and the other wants it to get smaller, compromise is not an option. Winning and losing is what happens.
Grover, we'll keep watching, and I know you'll be a major player in the fight. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Grover Norquist is president of Americans for Tax Reform. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.